Well, to an Australian, ibises are birds we love to hate. Whether you call them bin chickens, tip turkeys, sandwich snatchers, or picnic pirates, the ibis evokes equal parts disgust and fondness. To an ancient Egyptian, though, ibises were holy creatures mummified in the millions in honour of their moon god. New research has revealed these ibis were tamed in much the same way their modern-day counterparts are, through food. Zoe Rudge reports.
Although Australians view the Australian white ibis as nothing more than a bin chicken, its sister species, the sacred ibis, was revered in ancient Egypt. Thoth, the Egyptian god of writing, magic, wisdom, and the moon, was depicted as having the body of a man and the head of an ibis. And as such, ancient Egyptians worshipped and sacrificed ibises in his honor. At each temple site for Thoth, approximately 15,000 birds were mummified annually, meaning that millions of sacred ibises were sacrificed each year. But how the ancient Egyptians got hold of so many birds has been in contention for some time. Recent research, led by Griffith University, suggests mass-scale farming was unlikely, and instead, the temple priests and locals fed and tamed wild populations. Dr. Sally Wasif from Griffith's Australian Research Centre for Human Evolution says her research began on this topic after reading contradictory stories about how the priests were able to mummify such vast amounts of birds.
I started researching the sacred ibis mummies in 2012 as part of my PhD research. And why I was interested in the sacred ibises, because basically there was a lot of mystery around it in ancient Egypt. So like millions of these mummies have been mummified in the old time and buried in like dedicated catacombs. And when you go to those catacombs, you get really astonished by the quantity and the quality of the mummification as well. So they've mummified millions of them. Literally millions. You go in those catacombs and it's like a kilometer of streets, and every street has like room that's filled from floor to ceilings with jar filled with the ibis mummies. The literature tells us about where they sourced all of the ibises, and there was a contradictory in there. Some people were saying, oh, there was a hatchery or a farm or a big farm where the ibises were raised, and other people on the other hand saying, no, there is no physical evidence for a hatchery existing, which means they never farmed the ibises. So we started researching the DNA because we know that the DNA preserved in the ibises is the best thing to tell us the true story.
Dr. Wasif says the genetic variation between the mummies is similar to that seen in modern-day ibises.
If you farm or inbreed birds in a closed farm for a long time, you get a lot of similarity between those birds. So in their DNA, you see a lot of similarity and less diversity, less changes between one bird to another. What we found in when we did the research is that we tested the ancient mummies population from different locations around Egypt. And we tested also the modern population from all over Africa because ibis got extinct from Egypt since 1850. So we collected modern samples from all over Africa and we tested the ancient mummies. And we found that between the ancient mummies, there was a lot of diversity. There was a lot of variability between those mummies, as if they are caught from the wild. And they were very similar to the diversity that we were seeing in the wild population living now.
From these results, Dr. Wasif concluded ancient Egyptians didn't industrially farm ibises for their sacrifices, but instead tamed wild populations.
So we concluded that actually ancient Egyptians didn't practice a long-term farming. They practiced either very short-term farming, like, you know, a one-season farming just to supply the yearly demand on the ibises, or, which is more likely, that they just used to throw food for the bird and the ibises will come to them in their natural habitat. So next to each temple, there was like a sort of a lake or a wetland where it's a natural habitat for the ibis to live in. So all the priests needed to do is go and throw food and the ibises will come to them.
And that story was by Zoe Rudge.